Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. What are the materials that make up the everyday items that you rely on for a modern life? How do we produce those products in more economically viable and environmentally sustainable ways? Well, some of that innovation is happening right here in South Dakota. Robert Hall is the new head of mining engineering and management at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. His areas of expertise include the design of mining equipment and its reliability. Robert Hall joins us today to discuss why he chose the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology and where the industry is headed. Dr. Hall, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
And welcome to South Dakota. Had you spent much time here before? Tell us a little bit about your connections.
Sure. So I'm still in Canada. I've never been to South Dakota.
Hey.
I've never been to Rapid City, obviously. So I've accepted a job to a state that I've never in a state that I've never been to.
Well, you're going to love it here. And we are going to love to welcome you. And I think that speaks very highly because many people come because of what, you know, the outdoor recreation and the great community that exists in the Black Hills. And you're really coming for mines because it's a great place to be connected to. So tell us why you're making this decision right now. What are you looking forward to about this new partnership?
Sure. Thank you. First of all, I'm looking forward to coming to South Dakota. I've heard great things about it. I'm an outdoors person. I like to hunt and fish, so I see lots of that activity available for me to do. And the school itself is, you know, it's positioned, you know, it's got a growth mandate with the new president, and there's some things happening with industry is discussions are going ongoing about potential investment in setting up a technology research hub. And so that was one of the reasons in the area that I'm interested in mining. You know, automation is one of the things that is going to drive the industry into the next step change in how it delivers commodities and products to society. So, and you know, it's the community seems like a really nice community. The people that I met with, and I've been interacting with them via Zoom now for almost a month, and everybody seems dedicated to the school, the state, the students, and I just think there's lots of opportunities there.
Yeah, the benefits of Zoom right now are that we all kind of feel like we're in the same room sometimes. That can be a perk. I want to talk about your background a little bit because when I think about the young students now who are interested in mining, there's a lot of cool technology and interesting things to pull them in that direction. Well, let's go back a little bit and tell me how you got interested in this field of work.
Okay, so I grew up in New Brunswick, which is on the border of Maine, and I did an undergrad in mechanical engineering. I worked for 4 years as a mechanical engineer in heavy steel construction, building water tanks and pressure vessels. And at that time, I had a scholarship that would allow me to go back and do graduate studies and get paid from the government. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I was thinking I applied for biomedical engineering, clinical engineering at different schools, and then robotics. And then I was at McGill University talking with someone, and I'd read this professor, Leek Danishman, that was doing research on mining equipment, and I asked about him, and they said, oh, he's at Queen's. So I met him at Queen's one night, and we talked, and I ended up going into doing a master's in mechanical engineering, working on a mining project, and spent 4 months living in Chile as part of that project, and then I went and did a PhD in mining with Leek at Queen's as well.
Wow. What was it about that? Were you following opportunities, and at what point did you just say, "Yeah, I'm in the right spot. This is a life's work."
Well, for me, it's, you know, being mechanically inclined. You know, growing up working on old cars, you know, because that's all I could afford, and things like that. And then doing mechanical engineering when I didn't know anything about mining until I met Leek, to be quite honest. And I just saw, you know, from a mechanical engineering perspective. And this is before all the technology that's happened in the last 20 years. It's just the biggest toys in the world to play with. And
actually, yeah, let's get to that part.
Get in a sandbox, and I got big toys in a big sandbox.
Let's talk about some of those toys. Talk about the development of the technology, because for so many people, this is not something that they're never going to experience. What kind of technology is at work now in the mining industry?
So, you know, we've all heard about autonomous cars. And so we have autonomous haul trucks. that drive around in, at a mine site, and, you know, these trucks are three stories high and carrying, you know, 400 tons of material, and they weigh about 400 tons, and they're driving around by themselves, and they've got technology on board to detect if, you know, where other trucks are, and they're integrated together over a basically a Wi-Fi network. It's a bit more complicated than that. So that's one that's really, you know, and that's taken 20 years to actually come to fruition. When I first started in mining, and my first job was at University of British Columbia in 2000, they were piloting the technology then, and now it's becoming broadly, or slowly becoming broadly accepted. There's probably 100 or 200 trucks operating in Australia, and I know 40 or 50 in Canada, and I'm not sure about the U.S., but so that's one area for sure. And then there's lots of, from like advanced optical techniques for sorting minerals. One of the things that I did when I grew up in New Brunswick was I worked for McCain Foods at a French fry plant, and they, at that time, this is back in the 90s, they had a device that used cameras to they'd line the French fries up on a conveyor, and they'd use cameras to detect the black spots, and they'd use air knives to shoot the black spots out of the French fries. And so now that technology, not that type of technology, is being used in the mineral processing area to try to sort the stuff we want out of the rock from the stuff that we don't want. And then there's numerous other examples. There's satellite technology for monitoring reclamation and lots of other things.
Tell me the benefits of, is that a sort of a you know, financial efficiency that sort of helps with the economies of scale when you're sorting, you know, at that micro level, or are there other reasons to do that? How does that technology help?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the idea is, you know, especially when you look at underground mining, is if the less material you have to move and the shorter distance you have to move it, the more economical it is. So then if you can remove some of the stuff that you don't want, because what typically happens is you'll take everything up top, you'll process it, and you'll take the good stuff, say it's gold or copper or whatever, and make what you make with that. And then sometimes you'll take the leftover stuff and you'll put it back down as fill for your mining process. So if we could do that underground, it would save a significant amount of material movement costs.
Wow. Talk a little bit about sustainability and how... Go ahead. I was going to sort of... You go.
Okay, the other thing that's really just coming into, and it's everywhere right now, is machine learning, the Internet of Things. You know, how do we take all this data that's available now and operationalize it so that we can make you know, real-time decisions to make the most efficient and sustainable use of the resources that we are recovering.
Let's talk a little bit about sustainability, because this is a huge part of the mining industry. How much have you seen it change over the last decade or so, and what do you think the future is there?
I think, you know, the industry has worked really hard to become better social citizens, and they, you know, we now work, you know, once we've... Even before we go in exploring an area, sometimes we'll start engaging with the stakeholders, like the community, First Nations or Indigenous people that might be there. So, and that comes into our education. We now, all of our students are exposed to corporate social responsibility and the need to be good corporate citizens and make sure that the resources that we're taking from the earth, we're adding value back, and then we're putting the earth back, sometimes in a better condition than what it was before. So I think it's openly and evidently talked about, and companies are doing the best that they can in investing in technology to be more sustainable, both on the processing side and then on the reclamation side, as well as engaging stakeholders and making sure that everyone understands the value that allowing a mine to come into your community will bring, and that the company is going to make sure that when the mine is done, that the community is still going to be, you know, in a prosperous position without any legacy environmental issues.
Yeah, you talked about self-driving vehicles, and I'm wondering if you could speak to the connection between, you know, new mining technology that might, you know, work in that application, but then also ends up being used in other applications, right down to whether or not we, as, you know, American consumers, will eventually be driving these cars in any meaningful, large-scale way. What are some of the technology sharing potentials and opportunities that you see in the future?
I think one of the things that we can learn from Tesla specifically, I don't own a Tesla, but I know people that do. And so their model for their car is you buy a base model Tesla, and every add-on is software. And so they give you a trial run, let's say, of Auto Park. They'll just give you that to try for a month, and then that's the hook, right, in terms of the marketing. You like it, so if you want to buy it, you give them your credit card number, and then now you've got a Tesla that auto parks and so on. So I think incremental value added, and some of this will be on the service side for mining. So, you know, how do we there's lots of activities that go on to support the industry in terms of the data analysis and the supply chain for getting material to and from the mine, both material that the mine is recovering and material that the mine needs to actually operate on a day-to-day basis. And I think those will link into the broader infrastructure of local communities, because a lot of the material that comes into a mine, a community that the mine needs, is also needed by the community as well.
Has the global pandemic had an impact on the mining industry? What have you seen so far?
Yes. I don't think the pandemic has left anything untouched. Maybe nature's recovered more because of, you know, there's been some studies of, you know, that Venice is now, the waters are a lot clearer because of less tourism and stuff. But I think it's definitely had an impact on mining. I think it's also given us an opportunity, not only in mining and education. I was talking with some colleagues on a Zoom meeting earlier this week, and you know, we've often talked about sharing resources. You know, like, why should one person teach the same course in three different schools, for example? But we've never done anything about it. But now we've all gone online because we've been forced to, and so we're all using technology to deliver material. So I think it creates some opportunities to be more efficient and share resources locally and even globally in terms of education and training and things like that. So I think that's you know, one of the positive outcomes that will come out of this pandemic.
Have we seen anything as far as you know, demand changes like we see in the oil industry? Have we seen major disruptions to the mining industry that can be linked to you know, changes in the global economy?
Yes, for sure. I mean, and it's probably gonna be delayed a little bit because the commodity cycle typically, you know, it lags behind what's going on in the world. So, for example, the car sales have dropped precipitously, I think, in the last 2 or 3 months. Maybe not. Maybe more people are going to use cars because they don't want to take public transit. But we're definitely consuming less. So as we consume less, that'll filter back to the commodities that make those devices, whether it's copper, gold, zinc, nickel, will be in less demand because there won't be as much being made. But, you know, the good thing is that once we rebound from this pandemic, that the turnaround should be fairly quick.
Yeah. For students who are, you know, planning their futures at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, like, what kind of young people, what kind of minds are you interested, you know, to invite into this world?
I think you have to be a little bit adventurous if you want to go into mining, because it is a outdoor type or underground type industry. I mean, you can work in cities and work in offices, but if you're going to be in the field, you're going to be on a mine site. Sometimes those are in reasonably remote locations. Some of them might be fly in, fly out. So we want smart people, dedicated people, obviously. We're going to be looking at broadening the type of, because the role of mining engineers is going to be changing in the next several years because of all this technology. So we're currently assessing what that needs to look like in terms of the product we as a university deliver to our customer, which is the mining industry. And so, you know, smart people, people that are flexible and adaptable, have good critical thinking skills, and, you know, are open to change, because things are going to change.
Yeah, we've learned that in the last the last 6 months for sure, that sometimes you have to change pretty quickly, and things that you didn't expect to change are happening all around us. Dr. Robert Hall, he's the new head of mining engineering and management at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Thank you so much for being here. We look forward to welcoming you to the state, and hopefully we'll talk to you here on the radio again in the future.
Thanks for having me on, Laura. You have a great day.